Well, welcome again,
everyone, and an extra special welcome to the Cedar Creek community, ladies. We're so happy to have you here. And like I said, I'm really happy to have everyone here because you never know what to expect. And it would have been a little embarrassing to just have none or one. So thank you. So you have been sincerely hoped for and prayed for before coming tonight. We appreciated Leslie's wonderful talk tonight and all the good practical things there as well. So why don't we start in prayer? Well, hi, Ab. Are you okay over there? And everybody has a chair. Great. Nobody has to sit on the lap, I don't think. Go ahead and start with prayer. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I shall call upon him as long as I live. Father, these verses from Psalm 116 remind us that in this challenging and yet joyful season of life, we can continue to call upon you, knowing you love us, hear us, and are faithful to the end. Thank you again for bringing each of these women here today, and I ask that all that is said may please and honor you and be greatly beneficial to these women. We all desire to glorify you with our lives until you bring us home to you, and we pray this always in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 I'm thankful to Suzanne for giving me this opportunity, while also realizing in speaking on the golden years that any one of you who have been living with the Lord for a number of years could have done this. So I'm especially happy to be asked to do it. I realize that because of enjoying genuine friendships with some of these sweet women in the church who are in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, I can easily think that that is my age group. But I was quickly jolted back to reality when asked to speak on the golden years. So I'm sure many of you have had that same experience. And I will wanted you to know also that we will have questions at the end, and I just have one that I'll start out with when we finish the talk. Here's some information I found about the golden years. It refers to a person's later years, particularly the period of retirement, characterized by leisure, relaxation, and enjoyment after a lifetime of work. The term suggests a time of peace, contentment, and fulfillment, often beginning around age 65 and lasting into old age. The concept was popularized by retirement community developer Del Webb, I don't know if you've heard of him, in 1959, aiming to portray retirement as a desirable time for joyful activities and pursuing personal interests. My husband Ralph and I actually looked at one of these communities when we lived in Texas for a few years. Obviously didn't end up there, but they characterize leisure and freedom after retiring from work. Individuals can enjoy more free time to pursue hobbies, travel, and engage in activities they enjoy. Then there's peace and relaxation. It's a time for unwinding, enjoying life without the daily demands of a career. There's focus on personal fulfillment. People often use this time to explore creativity, strengthen relationships, and find purpose and joy. Good health and activity. While some physical challenges come with aging, many older adults maintain good health and self, thank you, Brenda, and stay. Let there be light, right? Thank you.
And
so this clearly is not a biblical description, but it says, but we maintain good health by staying active through good nutrition and fitness choices. So that is the world's view of the golden years. And there's nothing wrong per se, of course, with having more time in a day to fit in enjoyable activities or not having to rush things you may have hurried to do when you were working, raising a family, or were simply younger. I've loved my early morning walk for decades, but enjoy it even more now without family or job demands. I cherish the rare morning with Ralph when we take bakery pastries and coffee to Reed's Lake and have some of our sweetest time together, pun intended. But this talk will focus more on the spiritual condition of our hearts in the later years. The book of Ecclesiastes uses the word vanity throughout. The Hebrew word is habel, which means emptiness, futility, uselessness. These aren't words we want to have describe our lives, so let's look together at how the Bible redefines the so-called golden years. The later years may be called golden, but I appreciate that the Bible has many wonderful things to say about having gray hair, and nothing about golden hair, as beautiful as that is. One of my favorite verses at this seasoned age is Isaiah 46:4. Even to your old age, I will be the same, and even to your graying years, I will bear you. I have done it, and I will carry you, and I will bear you, and I will deliver you. I read that this verse comes after Isaiah's description of the idols of the Babylonian gods, Baal and Nebo, which the people had to carry. God's message is that he, unlike lifeless idols, is the one who carries and saves his people, highlighting his power and sovereignty. I'm finding that it's a beautiful, unexpected joy and privilege to be in this stage of life. God has promised to equip us, help us, and be with us in order to thrive as believers through these years. Even with inevitable physical degeneration, we can simultaneously flourish spiritually. The truths from Ecclesiastes regarding life being vanity and meaningless without the Lord continue to be true even when we turn 65 and beyond. We may be tempted to be self-focused, self-indulgent, and just plain selfish, thinking we have somehow earned the right to take it easy and live the rest of our lives in as pleasurable a way as possible. But in contrast to that thinking, please listen to the following verses, thinking of how the Lord has faithfully carried us through every situation with the promise of his future care. As we'll see, there is much in Scripture about being older. I'm going to read these verses straight through without Scripture references, and I can certainly provide those later if you'd like. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. The glory of young men is their strength, and the honor of old men is their gray hair. A gray head is a crown of glory. It is found in the way of righteousness. By the way, I have a quite comedic friend who's my age and turned gray in her 30s. She used to love to say the King James version of that for the shock effect. Does anyone know that translation? It's the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Of course, hoary is H-O-A-R-Y and means grayish white. So just thought I'd clear that up for anybody. And continuing, wisdom is with aged men, with long life is understanding. You shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged, and you shall revere your God. I am the Lord. Older men, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. And just a few more. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread.
grandchildren are the crown of old men, and the glory of sons is their fathers. Who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle? I thought age should speak and increase years should teach wisdom. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So teach us to number our days that we may represent, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. As we get older, we experience an increase in losses, things stripped away, weakness, maybe diminishing self-confidence, but our strength, confidence, and wisdom in the Lord also have incredible ability to grow and deepen, not as we become more independent and self-confident, but with increased dependence on Him. I'm less than a couple months away from turning 69, so Psalm 90, verse 10 is on my mind. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years, yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone, and we fly away. Personally, I love being older and getting older. Part of that is because some time ago, after I became a believer and grew in my longing for heaven, I started thinking of each birthday as a stair step to heaven, which maybe sounds like it should be a sappy song. And maybe now the stairway should have a railing on it. But I actually do picture, this is very true, I picture a stairway that goes up to heaven with each passing year, and that each year is a stair step that as a believer in Jesus Christ means I'm getting closer to getting there. What now?
Still won't rail that 75.
Oh, bravo, Maggie. That's great. Psalm 73:28 has resonated in my mind and heart since our beloved daughter Julia died last year. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. And this is what David expresses in Psalm 27:4. One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. This beholding of the Lord through pondering his attributes, deepening fellowship with him in prayer, and growing in love for him and his word has made me more and more excited about the stair step idea as I continue to grow older. Like labor in childbirth, there is no turning back, only forward and upward momentum. We are gloriously not in charge of any of it, but can know and are perfectly known and delighted in by the one who is in charge. It's okay, I can still see. In older age and at any age, there is no greater security or joy, which reminds me of this verse. And for those listening on tape, the light keeps going off and on. The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. Zephaniah 3:17. While there is undeserved grace given by the Lord to sustain us in our later years, we see all through Scripture that the best and richest way to increase in our dependence on him and nearness to him is through trials and the suffering that results. Sometimes he keeps the effects of sadness and suffering in place to keep us oh so close to him in dependence, fellowship, and usefulness. For instance, the genuine compassionate comfort we can offer someone who is hurting when we are daily pouring out our own tears of sadness to the Lord. There are many biblical examples of faithful sufferers: Job, Joseph, Moses, Jeremiah, Daniel, Stephen as the first martyr, the Apostle Paul, and of course our Savior, the suffering servant as described in the book of Isaiah.
What I'm about to say may sound shocking and be unsettling to some of you, but it's one of the main things I hope you assimilate from this talk. After I had extended periods of intense suffering since childhood into adulthood, profound loss recently, with the Lord continuing to strip things away, which, by the way, he has every prerogative to do, I now fully believe that a great mercy of God is to keep us in the trial and suffering, even over lifting the trial and its effects from us, though that is also his mercy. The most impactful way that we grow closer to him in sweet and utter dependence is right in the middle of the trial and its painful effects. It's only then that we experience the incredible mingling of joy in Christ with our sorrow, similar to when we think of Christ on the cross, the horror of our sin that put him there, along with the joy of his purposes to save, redeem, and sanctify. We identify with, depend on, and draw near to him like at no other time than when we are suffering. And best of all, we become more like Christ as we endure the trials, trusting him in them and with them. Please listen to these remarkable passages one after another while thinking of the greatest heartache or trial in your life, most recently or possibly right now. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalm 73, 25 and 26. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. James 1, 2 and 4, 2, 4. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us, Romans 5, 3 and 5. And one more from 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, even now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As we hopefully have our focus on eternal things and our longing to be with Christ, it's a critical time to take stock of our lives, to consider the use of our time, money, and energy. I've learned that the Lord is graciously practical in helping us. In knowing from Titus 2 that we are to disciple and teach younger women, I desired to share what the Lord was teaching me, but didn't want to manipulate doing that. In time, after getting to know and enjoy some of the younger women at church, all I knew to do was stay close to the Lord in prayer and the Word, constantly asking him for help and wisdom. And he started bringing women who asked to meet with me, filling the calendar and then graciously canceling things when I seemed to need him to do that. I remember also pleading with him with familiar tears for a way to have a closer connection with our five granddaughters who live far away. That led to my writing grandma letters now for over 3.5 years, which allows me to invest in their lives spiritually as well. Those letters now help my hurting heart as I write to Allie and Maddie, who we can't talk to, and they can't receive our mail. But I can and do pray they will someday read my letters and cards kept for them, being assured of how God still loves them and how we kept loving them and didn't forget them or their mom. Besides those more practical aspects, we need to also take inventory of the condition of our faith, our closeness to the Lord, the time or lack of spent in His Word, which we all know is vital for spiritual nourishment and instruction for life at any age. Along with that, how are we doing in serving and using our gifts as part of our church body? Our hearts being devoted with love for God and others, as Romans 12 commands. And I want to add, as I look around this room, how that has been beautifully done among you. We need to evaluate and ask God to help us honor Him in our roles as wives, moms, grandmas, mentors, friends, maybe widows, mature daughters of the King, all moving forward, heading up that stairway to heaven as we're motivated, inspired, empowered by God to leave behind the sweet fragrance of Christ. So in our imperfect, aging, weak bodies, do our motives, energy, and determination in life point toward magnifying Christ for all that He is and all that He's done? Even as seasoned believers, we live in the realm of a spiritual battle that is always waging, along with, shall I say, our matured flesh still having a tendency to pull away from the Lord and truth toward comfort and pleasure seeking. I believe we need to be more diligent than ever in making Christ central. In older age, God seems to tweak the process of sanctification. It hurts at times more than our arthritic bones, but it makes perfect sense. Since He is God, we clearly are not, and since the standard is Christ Himself. No matter how long we've lived, none of our best efforts will be perfect, and in fact can leave us overwhelmed. But let's constantly go back to our desperate need for Him, dependence on Him, pleading to Him for help, knowing He alone is our rock, refuge, and helper for every need and area of life. Repeat and apply to your now mature life in Christ the following simple yet profound verses from childhood from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. In living this way consistently, our lives can be a stunningly beautiful picture of Christ's love. He endlessly gives of Himself after already giving us everything. Excuse me. He endlessly gives us Himself after already giving us everything in the gift of salvation with its heavenly promises of eternal life, forgiveness of sins, and the indwelling Holy Spirit. I can testify to you today as an older woman who is still clinging to Jesus, as I know many of you are, that no disappointment, heartache, gut-wrenching loss, horrible situation, or challenge of an aging body will ever be more than the outpouring of Almighty God Himself to us. So let us pour out everything to Him in prayerful, tearful, trusting dependence and adoration. He will carry us up each step in this life until we are someday breathless, most likely speechless, in His glorious presence. Father, we can't wait for the day when all your promises are fulfilled and we are with you forever, our tears wiped away by you. Thank you for our beautiful Savior, who we pray to honor and magnify in our lives now and for eternity. We love you. Please help us to love you more. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Boy, y'all are great. This golden age is full of good listeners. And smile. Your wonderful faces help me get through it. Thank you. I did want to open it up to questions. I know there weren't any submitted, but I did want to first ask anybody who'd like to say anything about your greatest challenge or joy in getting older. Any thoughts?
It seems to me it's easier for this age.
Yes.
When we still have our spouse than single ladies who became a widow or who never married.
Yes.
So what are the needs of the single ladies of this age?
Yes, that's a wonderful perspective and a biblical one, isn't it? Yes, the Lord's care for widows to begin with and orphans, but how he commands us to do that. Yeah, I love that perspective. I think a lot of us who still have our spouses. I love talking to the faithful ones of you who have lost their spouses and just trying to learn from that now. And I don't know that we can really prepare for that, but it tends to be something very much on our minds, doesn't it, at this age too, of when the Lord will take that spouse home.
The question was, how can we be a blessing to you?
How can we be sensitive to the needs of single ladies?
Oh, thank you, Paula. So you were asking a question. Oh, yes. Thank you very much. Yeah, anybody have any input on that?
We can hear the question.
How can we be of encouragement to the ones at this stage of life who have lost spouses? And I loved what Leslie said, by the way, about that looking at them as really a new person without that spouse. That was really, very helpful. In terms of it's interesting, isn't it, how we do meld with our husbands on our tastes and dislikes and hopefully give preference to them often, but... Yeah, any other thoughts on that or experiences? Do you find, yes, you tell me your name.
I'm Dawn.
Dawn, I remember, yes. Thank you. So,
I lost my husband 14 years ago.
Yes.
So, you know, that song counts.
is a beautiful testimony, Dawn. You just tied together a lot of it. See, you're one that could have given that talk tonight, but I just love that. It's not, as our pastor Todd has said, it's not where you are asking for the suffering or the situation, but he tells us we're going to have it all through life. And then what an incredible, almost surprise, even though we know how good and kind the Lord is, how he undertakes, but to find that he does it in a way where you you just marvel.
And to get those, that faith,
yeah,
that you know when you look back that he just got you through that valley. I mean, that.
Right.
Just that trial. And my husband died for praising him. And I don't wish it on anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, a man as healthy as a horse.
Right.
But he fought long and hard for 15 months.
Yeah, and death is brutal. Death is, yeah. It's...
It is. It really is. Like I said, you know, if I hear anybody, you know, that is suffering with that, we've been praying for a young one in our church that has had cancer.
Yeah.
And it went to his brain there at first, and now I think he still has some in his brain and stuff. But, you know, I hear of that, and I just, you know,
yeah.
I just have such empathy for
yes.
the families.
I think as believers, we tend to look, as we're told to, we look with a longing for heaven, and then forget that every death is gruesome and horrible. I remember just reading something. John Erickson Tada. Are you all, you're all familiar with John Erickson Tada? And she's paralyzed, and she was 17, quadriplegic. And just remarkable life of testimony of what the Lord's done through day after day of incredible suffering and the profound ministry to others in those situations. But she said, and she knew this wasn't, of course, in the Bible per se, but the thought that death is a one, she was kind of just wondering if the Lord with death gives us a picture of what we would go through if he hadn't rescued us from our sin, that it almost we need to weigh the gravity of it if, because of what people are experiencing. Like, but thank you for that we really appreciate that testimony. I'm sorry, Jackie. I couldn't turn during the talk.
No, that's quite all right.
See you.
Yeah. I don't liken this to your loss, but I was a teacher for 29 years, and I needed to retire when I was 54, and that was very painful because I thought I was going to be teaching till I was in my 70s or later, you know. And so it took me a long time to accept it, to adjust to it. And so I think what helped me the most was that God said, it's time. You've done it a long time, and now you need to use this time for your family. Totally, not working late at school or weekends or whatever. And when I finally came to understand that, I was able to let it go, you know, the resentment or the whatever. And but it is, we hang on to this idea, and it's our idea, our plan. And when we finally realized what was his plan,
right,
and that made all the difference.
Well, and he's so gracious. The Lord is so gracious to give us, you know, there's nothing wrong, of course, with working outside the home. Again, been preached so well, taught from in our church, but it's so clear in scripture of that priority, that heart for our families and mm-hmm. and home that we're to have, even as we get this fulfillment from work, don't we? That,
see, I was single. Yes. I met my husband when I was 30.
Okay.
So I had this chunk of time.
You've got a story that,
you know, this plan, you know. And so this older couple that were retired teachers coming to our school all the time for substituting. And one of them was, I found out later, my husband's teacher in high school.
Oh.
So,
oh,
you know, it comes around. So it was kind of funny.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. Yeah, very interesting situation.
It's wonderful that the Lord gives us our older years.
Yeah.
Because I'm closer to the Lord now than I ever could have been when I was younger.
Oh, Alice.
When you're raising kids and doing a business and doing all these things. But when you're older, it's just a special time.
Such a sweetness to it, isn't it? Oh, I love
hearing
it. I thank
the Lord every day that He gives me, you know.
Yes. I love hearing your hearts. When Ralph and I were at Cedar Creek for his having to teach, I immediately saw, your hearts for the Lord and wonderful encouragement.
Yeah.
Any other? I hesitate to say questions because that means an answer. But you can all.
Pressure.
But I'd love to hear any of your wisdom or comments.
I'm just enjoying and just so appreciative looking back at God's faithfulness.
Yes,
that's true.
Over so many times in our lives, watching my mom die of cancer at 61 years old. I'm older than that now. You know, and to see how He just He got us through.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how people that are non-believers get through that.
Yeah.
I honestly don't. Yeah. And to have my physical family come alongside, but to have Mary at the Bible Church come alongside, and my Christian friends, they were just there for us, whether it was a hug, a phone call, I knew they were praying, you know, but to see God just lead and guide and direct and strengthen and comfort and just all those things through
faithful.
Not just that situation, but many times over the years that God is faithful.
Mm-hmm.
He is faithful.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, it's like the longer you live, the more things like that are so heavy and yet that then the intensifying of how He cares for us.
But
is
also in the good times.
Yes.
You know, He's there always.
Yeah.
And I'm just amazed.
Yeah.
That's true.
No wonder our longing grows and deepens. Ev, I'm looking at you. You are one beautiful older lady, and I'm so glad to see you over there. Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of Ev and some of the widows in our church, they are a blessing. Because, sometimes we go through with our husbands and there's no way I'm going to see things. And they gently nudge you and remind you and send you papers in your mailbox and different things. We need the other widows.
Yeah.
We need their experience. We need their growth. Mm-hmm. I do. It's been a blessing to me.
Yeah. There's an extra spiritual depth, I think, that must come with, in that. Yes, you're absolutely right.
I think the hardest thing is at our age is losing our friends and some who are younger.
That's true.
Yeah.
Especially if they were not comfortable.
Yeah. That's definitely another aspect. Yeah, losing our friends. In fact, I remember maybe some of you too have heard your parents or your grandparents talking about, I remember hearing them say, this is so hard to be losing friends, and kind of a real reckoning that comes even then. But.
And also losing your children.
Yes,
and
Norma.
Your grandchildren.
Yeah, Norma.
That's hard.
Yeah.
It is.
Yes, and it's meant to be, isn't it? I remember,
I'm sure you can say the same thing. I remember when Julia died, wondering how the Lord was going to comfort. I knew, you know, we can think, oh, of course, before when those things happen, you think, of course, he's going to do this and that. But then it happens and you're kind of numb and you do. I remember just being immersed in the Word, and there was no fuzzy warm blanket of comfort, but it was almost like him treasuring that life so much, or putting such a value on the life that's lost, and then giving that time then for that the weightiness of death and losing a life. I don't know if you.
I think the most encouraging thing is knowing where they are.
Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah, that's the blessing.
Sure,
yeah.
One person that has passed, I don't know.
Yeah. Where is Norma? So you live with that.
You know, and
yeah.
The message this morning. We really got to get the word out.
Yeah. Wasn't that powerful? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our pastor is preaching on the tribulation. And I remember I was with Norm in the bathroom and we were commenting, oh my word, it's just amazing that how he could do that with such depth and clarity. And then not only once, but twice, and then again next. Yes, yes, but you're right, a lot of.
And you have so many memories to hold on to.
Someone. You ladies sure are precious. Yes, Ev.
Well, I think older, you have to remember the word.
Yes.
You know, I think about some people, you know, they're with their family, you know, at times
their devotions or their family. Yes. It's a luxury. It feels like such a luxury, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I've said that so many times. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because I have a very comfortable chair right by the window. I'm waiting, Jesus, please now, come now. But yes, you're right. It's just a beautiful aspect of, and I know it may not be true for everyone, but so if you were at this age and you still did have to go to work every day and all the things, you'd have to know that was what the Lord had ordained for you in that way. But he doesn't change any of the truths, does it, of his care and continued care. Well, thank you, ladies. Sure appreciate you being here and your wisdom.
Thank you.